Welcome to Gola. I'm Katie Parla, a Rome-based food and beverage writer, culinary guide, and cookbook author.
And I'm Danielle Caligari, assistant professor of Italian at Dartmouth College and a certified specialist of wine.
Hey!
Hey!
What's up? Hey!
Katie, you're in an extra good mood right now because...
Well, because I actually drank some water today after... 9 hours melting and just like slamming pizza in a sort of blackout of heat stroke. It was a pretty intense one, but I'm feeling really good. And not just that, not just because of that.
Not just because you're mildly hydrated, but because you're about to undo all that good work.
See, we've got another really fun collabo for the Golosi in our lives. And we're once again teaming up with Bion Divino for a summer wine pack, which everyone can buy if they're in the states of the United that allow
shipping from California retailer. So we know we're going to give everybody a heads up right now that this and all forthcoming episodes that are dedicated to the wines or other beverages that we want you to enjoy alongside a tasting episode like this one, or ones that are even going to go more deeply into the background, the history, the context, the producers themselves, are all going to be tailored in a way that allow you to enjoy, even if you can't have precisely the wines that we have in front of us right now and that Bion Divino have been kind enough to source for us and the listeners who do have access to their shipping apparatus. While you're listening here to us talking about summer wines, you'll hear us mentioning the qualities of the wines that we like, what place they have in our diet, in our lifestyle, and this time of year in this case, and where you might find wines that are analogous if they're not the precise ones that we're drinking. So don't hang up now. Don't walk out the door in a fury. Just find something that you like to drink. Pour yourself a glass. Listen as we talk through these selections that we're enjoying right now while we happen to be in Italy and that you can enjoy in some form wherever you are.
That's right. So cool if you can get the Bion Divino pack. Cool also if you can't, because you're going to learn something. And this really is dedicated to our appreciation of vino, and we're just anchoring that in specific examples that you can learn from and extrapolate when enjoying wines and other contexts.
Exactly right. And the context today, as Katie mentioned, is a very hot day where you get home from a long day of wandering around a hot urban center. If you're Katie in Rome, touring people around all the best food and wine joints in Caput Mundi, or maybe you just got off the beach in SoCal and you're ready for something refreshing, or maybe you just got home from the office in Columbus, Ohio, and you just want to have something delicious.
See.
Katie can't listen to me anymore because she's got a bottle of wine hovering over her glass, and she has firmly stopped listening altogether right now as she pours herself what would even be a generous glass, let alone a generous tasting pour, and gets right in there. Well, Katie, you're excited. I'm excited. What are we drinking when we're talking about summer wines? We're in Italy. It's hot. It's hot everywhere in Italy in the summer. Sometimes it's even hotter in the places you think it wouldn't be. Milan is so hot. Oh my God, it is so hot. Florence is disgusting in the summer. It gets better most of the time as you go to the places that are associated with heat here. Mm-hmm. So the peninsula is a sweaty old place from end June up until end of September a lot of times.
Yeah, that's precisely why we chose 3 17% alcohol by volume Amarone to drink right now.
They have the juicy density of a long-baked Christmas fruit tart.
We're looking for thickness, viscosity here. JK, we're going for the fun, the flirty, the ancestral method sparkling, some rosé. It's going to be, there's going to be a tangy white in there.
There's tanginess. Mm-hmm. There's brightness. There's acid. There's Every single bottle in here, you could chill it right down to refrigerator temperature. Don't be afraid. Let it nearly freeze. It's going to be great.
38 degrees Fahrenheit,
whoa,
people.
That's what we said. Yeah. And you're going to be able to enjoy them totally by themselves if you'd like to. But we're going to talk about the things that you might eat if you are trying to have a little poolside or seaside picnic or a light summer meal after one of these long hot days as the sun's going down and things are cooling off. And, you know, all of these things are going to be super enjoyable in a variety of contexts regardless, but are especially going to be speaking to you in this moment of the year when you're a little hot, a little sweaty, a little cranky, want something to lift your spirits.
Or maybe like you're just having the best time ever and you're at a mountain lake and you want to have an even cooler, more awesome time. You just crack open one of these bottles or something similar and you got a party.
Absolutely. I should say, given that you and I are still in the throes of a lot of work right now, I'm having a hard time imagining a proper summer vacation, but we too sometimes relax for a minute.
I saw proof. A lot of people are not working and they're chilling and they're partying, and I saw it on the gram, so it's all real.
Okay. If it's on the gram, then it can't be anything but 100% real.
So let's actually take people to the Oltre Pavese.
Yes, I'm very pleased to be starting here because I think it happens to be a great example of how you can have a gem hiding in plain sight, right? Oltre Pavese is right next to all of these extremely famous wine regions and makers, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, individual producers and styles that are super famous and command huge price points. And the wines from Oltre Pavese are not usually part of that starstruck world and when it comes to international recognition.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're also in striking distance from a lot of urban centers that people like to visit. You're not that far from Bologna or Mantova. Mm-hmm. You're pretty close-ish to even like Prosecco territory.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's a place that, because it's kind of like off the radar of most drinkers, in spite of the fact that there are many wines from these areas available, it doesn't kind of have the public relations gravity of its neighbors. Yeah. You can go visit these places and kind of have the region to yourself. And it's a really cool one. Oltre Po Pavese is kind of telling you about its identity with its name. Oltre Po, like beyond the Po River. Pavese is related to Pavia, which is a city, what's it called? Provincia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Both a city and a provincia.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this particular beverage is made by Tenuta Belvedere, specifically Gianluca Cabrini, who cultivates 10 hectares of his wife's grandfather's land. So basically the family of his wife was going to sell off this property. And in 2013, he kind of like relaunches the sort of adopted family's wine business. And for the past nearly decade, he's been really devoted to making natural wines with very, very, very minimal interventions, almost no sulfur, and sometimes no sulfur when he sees the wines can permit it. And he's got some really fun things, including this this bottle, which you might pronounce Y or Bi, depending on the way that you pronounce W's in Italian.
Or even Vi.
Or even Vi.
Yeah, a lot of people do V in place of W from Latin. That's an old tradition, but a good one. So this is a bottle of sparkling white wine, technically. But we're looking at it and we're seeing it's not all that white. It's more like a peachy color, which tells us right away some of the things that you already did tell us, Katie, which is that there's not going to be a lot of intervention here. He's letting what happens happen. He's just guiding it towards tasting delicious and being really enjoyable and evocative of the space it's from.
And also letting the grapes stay in contact with the juice.
Right.
And there are two grapes utilized here. One that is, we call it an international grape, Pinot Nero, Pinot Noir, and the other Riesling Italico. So one red, but one that's used often in sparkling wines, including champagne.
And
I don't know if you would call Riesling Italico a clone or a relative of the Riesling that's cultivated in Austria or Germany. How do we have an idea of the genetics on that?
I have a feeling that Well, put it this way, I wouldn't make a statement on that because I suspect that that is something that almost no one can know unless they do a really deep dive into the specific one that this producer is using, because this is the kind of story of a grape that has moved all over the place and been called different things, and that is certainly relative to the Riesling produced on the other side of the Alps and probably several other grapes. But what it's doing here is exactly what a producer like this wants, which is bringing in something that's ultra specific to this subregion, and then of course the pairing with Pinot Noir, an international varietal that is very traditionally used in sparkling wines through obviously champagne, but also things like Franciacorta, which would be a closer neighbor in this case. And as a result, you have this, what I love to see in a sparkling natural and scare quotes wine, which is to say a joining of some more familiar flavors with something a little more offbeat and a little bit potentially wackier. You know, before we keep talking, I at least should have a sip since you've just been going right in there.
Oh, sorry. I came here to drink, yeah, Dr. Caligari.
I know. I'm not here to take the temperature down, that's for sure. So I'm doing my usual. I'm looking at it as I was before, mentioning the color, looking at what that can tell me already about, as Katie mentioned, some skin contact. Pinot Noir, when it's used to make, for example, champagne, is not allowed to take color off of the skins, at least almost without exception, up until very recently. There are almost no producers doing them. We have, in this case, a sparkling that's obviously allowing that grape some contact to get some color there. We have this nice peachy color. We have, as soon as I get to the nose, all kinds of stuff going on. I'm right away enjoying a combination of something that smells a little bit like a honeydew or like a summer melon, but then also that back note that I love, which is white pepper, and that always gets me in a real good mood when I smell something making hitting both of those marks, because that means that I'm going to have that sweetness that's fun and light and that fruity flavors that bring me into a summer space, but then a little bit of edginess that pulls that down and gives it a more serious bend, a little bit of savoriness.
Yeah, and I'm getting a little bit of like yeastiness with some almost like a tropical fruit cocktail that's muted a bit with a kind of orange pulp. Really, really delicious, and my mouth is watering.
Oh God, it's lovely. The lees that are left in the bottle, because this is done in a tradition, in
ancestral.
Sorry, had one sip of wine. Is bringing that toastiness that we love there. But, you know, this works so well with those because you have that, it's like a savory fruit tart, right? Mm-hmm. It's like maybe something that's using the kinds of flavors that that we talked about in one of our recent episodes. Oh, when we were talking about pineapple and ham on pizza. Right?
Yeah. Callback to our either most or least popular episode.
We'll find out through analytics. The combination here totally feels like a prosciutto melone situation. It's not that. I'm not tasting exactly those things, but it's there's the sweetness and a kind of juiciness of a melon or fruit component against the kind of like savory saltiness and a little bit of pepperiness of something that's like in the vague world of a cooked savory tart.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm actually going to suggest a pairing that might not be totally embraced by an Italian audience who is accustomed to pairing wine and food.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the perfect pairing for this is a boat.
Yeah. Definitely.
A boat, a beach, or a pool.
I love that.
BBP.
I love that from here forward, all of our wine pairing suggestions are going to be with the sexiest vehicle that you can come up with. Friend with boat is what we suggest with this wine. And it's true, though, because it's, I mean, also, what's this coming in at 12? not even, yeah.
12.5%?
Yeah, right. Somewhere in the 11.5% to 12.5% is going to be hitting that perfect mark where you can enjoy a couple of glasses of this. It's not going to do too much damage. You can have it with a little snack or not. You can have it just with boat. I feel like Katie is coming out here with something that I didn't expect.
Now, you can't just take the wine on the boat, right? You need to have the boat bag wine combo. And that was the unveiling that you heard of the crinkling plastic in the background. So I just bought this at a place called Kitchen, which is near Pizzarium, near the Cipro Metro stop. And this will keep your wine, it'll keep your salami, it'll keep your mozzarella, it'll keep all your things cool. While on boat.
I love it. I also love that it's a 15-liter capacity.
It's really the minimum.
You're going to be out all day, maybe.
Also, not related. Specifically to bags or boats. Mm-hmm. Well, related to boat. Cutting board for boat.
Oh, boat cutting board. You did tell me that you desperately needed that, which I thought to myself, would we say desperate?
Look, when you're on a boat, pounding Y from the Ultrapo Pavese, you're going to say, where's my goddamn cutting board? I've got some cheese to slice here, and I need a surface.
That's absolutely certain. I'm super pleased with this one. This was a new one in our portfolio, generally speaking. I got the first taste of Tenuta Belvedere's wines earlier this year from Bion Divino when they turned me on to them. And when we were going to put together the summer pack for our Golosi, it was the first thing that jumped out at me. I said, we got to get this for everyone if they can get a taste. So look for it. If you can't get it through Bion Divino, take a peek around at your local possibilities and ask if your preferred retailer can get it to you, because it's an absolute delight. And it only paves the way for the next wine.
We're heading a little bit further down the peninsula, not much. We're going to Le Marche, to La Distesa, which is maybe not founded in 1927, but in classic vineyard style. They said, we found a document that said that there was a farm here that did wine, and now we're kind of the natural inheritors of all that history. I'm always a fan of anything founded in 1927 for its aroma. The AS Roma team also founded in that year. And this is a wine. Of all three wines, this is the one that's going to be easiest to track down wherever you are. The producer, La Distesa, makes about 16,000 bottles of this. And I would wager that many people who have visited Italy or gone to a wine shop that has a good Italian selection may even have seen this very simple label. And La Distesa, unlike some other vineyards, doesn't have a lot of continuity between their labels. Yeah, they do several different wine lines, all, made in a way that's very respectful of the earth and uses indigenous yeast and minimal intervention. But they have really, really different labeling, different illustrations. This one's more text. And it's letting you know that the legal name of this wine is Marche Bianco, but the fantasy name is Terre Silvate, which I think means forested lands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, my Italian. Sylvan. My Italian's pretty good. Pretty good.
Is that some dirt on your shoulder? What I love about this, the first point that you make there, the fact that everybody is likely to be able to find it somehow, even if we can't get it through Bion Divino, is that I feel Verdicchio is the most undervalued grape on the peninsula still. I know that them's fighting words, but I just think Verdicchio is really, really, poised to become much more important than it has been. And I think it just does not get its fair share of attention still, even though there are a lot of fine producers, La Distesa being one of them. The people who have been working with Verdicchio for a long time and who really give it a lot of attention, they pull stuff out of that grape that will really knock your socks off. I absolutely love Verdicchio and I'm loving what I'm drinking here, which I'm not surprised by because we are big fans of La Distesa's wines. We have been for a while. I've been drinking this particular bottle for a long time. I was introduced to it years ago here in Rome, and I remember drinking it at a restaurant here. It might have even been at Cesare at the time. Continue to find it to be so pleasing, but also bringing a lot of interest at the set. You know, there's stuff going on here, even as you can just dive right in. It's not a vino da meditazione, but neither is it something that you just, you know, wash down boat with.
Yeah, vino di meditazione is a fun phrase, like vino importante, that's like shoved down your throat in Italian psalm courses, where it's like, this is a wine that you like meditate on. And it's,
take your time.
And you like say really pretentious words about it and everyone's like super annoyed and it sucks. But yeah, it's got the sort of like gravity of vino importante.
Yeah.
An age-worthy, sophisticated, complex wine. And Verdicchio, I mean, I totally agree with you. It's a grape that's so expressive of where it comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
And this particular vineyard, which is in Cupra Montana, in the province of Ancona, is not far from Castel di Jesi, which is one of the famous appellations. But it kind of has some like different flavors and notes going on that aren't the sort of classic ones that you find from the more conventional producers. I really love what's going on in the glass here. And if you like what's going on in the glass here, not only can you drink this wine wherever you want, you can actually drink it on La Distesa's outdoor patio. Yeah. They've got two barbecues, they got a pool, and they rent rooms. It's a place, an agricultural society in rural hospitality called Lezinante, and it is cool as shit, guys.
Yeah,
it's near all of these like Romanesque abbeys. It's in a cool medieval part of Italy that kind of looks a little bit like, almost like the Val d'Orcia in in some sections, but like it's not overrun with American tourists like that part of Tuscany is. Le Marche is definitely worth a visit, and I always recommend like using a rural base to explore it because you really do get the full essence of the region, and then you can pop into the various little villages. Senigallia being another great one, especially for wine drinkers.
On
the coast.
Absolutely. Yeah, you won't be disappointed there. It's beautiful all around, but there's a lot of sensitivity to how they can make wines that really make the most of what's available there and the long history. And you know, my love of Verdicchio is underpinned by the fact that this is a grape that was long appreciated. I mean, in the Renaissance, there are people writing about how great Verdicchio is already then, noticing the connection between varietal and space, understanding that it's, you know, it's special in this way. And La Distesa is just, you know, a great example of it. Again, we're working with something that is relatively low alcohol, 12.5. You're going to be able to enjoy this late afternoon, hot summer day, sitting out on the terrace overlooking your agriturismo property. You could be having this alongside some really nice grilled fish, I would recommend. I also think that Verdicchio has the possibility, because it has that that nuttiness, the kind of almond flavors that lend it to something even like a roast chicken dish really well, right? So
yeah, and you also get some of that like additional complexity and nuttiness from the fact that the wine is fermented on the lees for 6 months after.
Right.
Well, even longer, right? Because they do a harvest in like late August, early September, and then the wines rest on the lees until Easter.
Until Easter, yeah.
So,
yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And you can, and you know, that's what's giving it all this depth that you might not expect from the first sip, right? You get in and you're like, oh, this is fun, refreshing, delicious, floral. And then you get that persistence that stays with you and that gives you all the rest. And it's great.
Yeah. And for sure, it is Verdicchio that is really asserting itself here, but Terre Selvate uses about 5% of Trebbiano.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like when I don't know what something is, I'm like, it's Trebbiano, because Trebbiano does, you know, does anything and everything in a good way. I actually think, you know, people tend to look down their nose at it as a result of that. Natural winemakers or newer winemakers, lo-fi winemakers have been experimenting with it more as a result of that. It's also inexpensive to get your hands on Trebbiano, so it allows you to play with it a little bit more. But it's, I actually think that that's something that people should be more, you know, should it, that should be praiseworthy in a grape sometimes, at least, right? Yeah.
Don't Trebbiano hate, Trebbiano yeah. congratulate. That,
the famous saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that positive note, as we continue in our journey, we're going to go to a place that doesn't always get a lot of love.
I love it.
But we love it, obviously. No, nobody will be surprised to hear that, not least because we just did a collaboration with people working in Irpinia, which is sort of adjacent to where we're moving right now, and where we spent a lot of time with the grape Aglianico.
Yes, and this time we're going to Basilicata, specifically Mount Vulture, and that is the land of Aglianico.
Yeah.
One of a couple, but it's a place that's really well known for its powerful, age-worthy red wines, but it's summertime. We don't want any of that right now.
No,
we want to wait till the fall.
We don't want it to be muscular. We don't want it to be broad-shouldered. We don't want it to have any of the characteristics that men use to talk about manliness.
We want it to be real pretty and the color of coral, and we want it to be chilly and delicious and fruity and juicy. And
I mean, if you see this next wine and you don't think it looks magnificent, you don't have eyes, because it is so beautiful. Is it not? It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's like a fruit punch color. It's alive. It's a acceso, as we might say, sort of bright and lit up.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. And it's got a fun name, Rosado Uel
Camerlengo, di Camerlengo.
Yeah, Camerlengo is the producer, and we're in Rapolla, which is part of the Vulture volcanic area. Don't be alarmed. It's not like Etna, which is always like spewing out all sorts of volcanic materials. The Vulture volcano has been dead for a long time. Pour yourself a little glass.
I'm getting in there. You know, I can't say no to this one. I just love it. I love this one. Is so exciting to me because it's the kind of bottle that I want to have tons of at my house, so that every time I am invited somewhere, I can bring it.
Yeah.
Because you show up with this and everyone's just in a good mood when they see it.
It's true. Like, yeah. It's true. I mean, it is like one of those transformative things, like this bright fruit punch looking thing is in the room, but you know it's not going to be like a sweet fruit bomb. It's going to be something special. And that's because Antonio Cascarano, who is the producer, architect by trade and then winemaker by passion, and because he inherited family land, he's really devoted to using what the land can express, right? These are old Aglianico vines that the wine is being made from. The wine has this really mellow, chill place to ferment and do its thing in hand-carved tufa caves. So really ancient, really special. I'm not biased because my family comes from the same province of Potenza where this wine is produced. It's just I think it's a really special thing. And it's basically they hand harvest the grapes, do a really soft press, and let the wine, let the indigenous yeast from the cellar and the juice and skins kick off the fermentation. And then they don't do any fining or filtration. So you get that full potency of nature really in the glass.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you see, it's not perfectly clear because of that, but that is actually what's lending to the intensity of color also, without them having left the juice on the skins for too long, because what they're going for here is something that's a lighter and friendlier style. Aglianico is a grape that can pack a punch, that can be really intense, have a lot of depth, lots of things that we like for other occasions. But we're talking about, you know, putting on your pareo and lounging on the chaise. And that means we want a form of Aglianico that suits our spirit. And this one, besides the color that we have, which is already doing everything, and the etichetta in this case, I happen to actually really love also. The labeling, I think, is equally beautiful. But
it looks kind of like German or Austrian in a way, which kind of reminds me of, I don't know, like the the Hofstadters or whoever, like the German people were in Basilicata back
well,
in the day.
Well, it's funny that you say that, Katie, because as I mentioned before, my love of Verdicchio comes in part from the long history it has and the relationship that I sort of developed with it through reading texts that lauded it early on. This winemaker is called Camerlengo. Their property is called Camerlengo because that's the title of the chamber master, I think is the actual, which is an unfortunate translation in English, but I might be wrong about that. But in any case, it's basically the right hand to the Pope, the most important cardinal who gets to take care of things in the apostolic chambers. And yeah, I know, exactly. And the land that this is grown on, I believe, was given to the people who started cultivating wine on this land by the cardinal who was the Camerlengo at the time of Frederick II.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a long walk, but you're there with me, right?
I felt Frederick II vibes.
Yes, and, exactly.
And there is, yeah, I could always sense when Federico Secondo is up in
nearby,
here. Yeah. No, I could sense it totally, 100%. That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I wonder if Federico Secondo would have been into ripe red fruit forward, slightly spiced, slightly floral wines.
I mean, all of the wines that we're drinking here, what does tie them together is that they actually have a kind of timeless quality in that they're the kind of balance between some sweetness, some fruit that is really apparent, you know, the kinds of like stone fruits of summer, the honeyed fruit taste of the summer that we were talking about, alongside the acid, the brightness, the kind of vividness of flavor that would have been really appealing in pre and early modern moments where people didn't have as much sugar in their diet, right?
Yes. So, oh, I love it.
And this is what we want at this time of year because it's hot out. You're sweating. You are getting a little bit dehydrated. You're low in electrolytes. Maybe you're not eating as much because of the heat. You're not feeling the appetite. So you take a sip of a wine like this and it gives you that substance that you're looking for. It really rejuvenates you.
Yeah, it's really giving me life right now in a very literal sense.
Yeah.
I almost did die from pizza exhaustion. earlier today, but I've been revived by this delicious, delicious rosé made from a grape that we treasure, Aglianico for life, man.
Absolutely. Oh, man, we really do need to get the hashtags rolling out there.
Hashtag Aglianico life?
Hashtag pairs well with boat.
I wonder how many, let's see, 15 liters. So that's like... Seven? No, hold on.
That bag's pretty big. I could probably fit in that bag.
Oh my God, you totes could. But you, your body heat would bring down the temperature of the bottles.
Yeah, I don't
want to
sit in there. That's a hard pass. Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Mostly for the wine, not for me suffocating. Yeah,
exactly.
Katie, this was, I mean, we've done really well with our friends at Beyond Divino. They bring in great stuff. We are always excited with everything that they toss our way. And they gave us a lot of things that we could have presented today as part of the summer pack. Only a better reminder that everyone who isn't able to source from them can get examples of wines like this. We started with an ancestral method, sparkling white wine with skin contact at the top. We went to very basically straightforward expression of a white wine that's simply super evocative of its territory and made with care and attention and sustainable methods. And then we moved down to an example of a pretty unusual rosato, only in that it comes from a place where people are used to getting smack you in the face, high alcohol reds, and instead are getting to enjoy their Aglianico and drink it too, even when they're on a boat. And all of these things are what we're excited about right now because they are flexible, right? They are, anywhere you are, you can find an example of this and enjoy it and think about what we are talking about here non-specifically, or if you do have a chance, go to the Beyond Divino website. You'll get all this detail in the note in the show notes, of course. You can also follow them on Instagram at Beyond Divino and sample the ones that we're talking about right here. And then, you know, pair them up against the ones that we've tasted with you before or that you're drinking yourself from other places and let us know how you feel. We are just, you know, the more collaborations we do and the more products we get out there that we're tasting, that you're tasting, the conversation grows and that's what we're really here for.
Absolutely. I'm on a boat.
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you, Katie. We got to drink more of this wine, and that means we got to turn off the microphones before people hear what we get up to when we actually dip in. So I think I'm going to tell you salute.
Let me pour a little more.
A little more? Last pour? I mean, last pour on mic. Salute.
Salute.
Alla nostra, alla vostra. We'll talk to you guys soon. Follow both of us at Katie Parla at Dr. Caligari's Cabinet. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/golapod, and keep looking out for more and more collaborations and chances to toast together virtually or hopefully soon more than ever in person.
Cheers. Se vedemo.
Se vedemo. Arrivederci.
We love our supporters and hope you become one too by visiting patreon.com/golapod. And now is the special shout-out time for those who support us at the Ghiotti level. So thanks so much to Gabe Del Virginia of New York City and our buddies Allison and Gino Ruggiero of Fiorella in Rochester.
We also have our wonderful friend Leah at Semolino Artisanal Pasta in Pasadena, California, and Bobby Mazzullo at Mazzullo Pizzeria in Sacramento. Join us for more content, early access, special discounts, and news of everything Gola in advance on patreon.com/golapod.